Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, my friends. Welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports, you can find them online. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. If you're interested in getting a Yamaha golf cart, propane or gas powered, decked out the way you want it to be, customized, they can do all of that there at Impact Power Sports. Also, a ATV, UTV, motorcycle, e-bike, scooter, go-kart, lawnmower, snowmobile, they have it all at Impact Power Sports. Bob is in Pennsylvania, and the 100-degree temperatures that we had here in Michigan are now with him. You know, it's moving across the U.S. Yeah, that's a real backbreaker when you have that type of weather. It really affects Pooh Bear and the dogs. I don't do bad in it. I would prefer to be inside and in the comfort of the AC, but I had to bust out on Sunday and yesterday to be outside quite a bit for some things that needed to get done. And I felt pretty good in all that was happening, despite the heat. I was able to tolerate it, but poor Pooh Bear, it just wears her ass out. But nevertheless, I'm sure wherever you are, it's just perfect. At least I hope. We have a lot of stuff to get to today. I took notes, but I can barely read them. Let's start with the title of the show. No, we aren't at war. I think people these days are a little bit too dramatic. I mean, we take pot shots at countries all the time. I mean, we've taken pot shots at Iran. We've taken pot shots at Iraq. We've taken pot shots at Syria. We took 2 decades worth of pot shots in Afghanistan. Trump lobbing 14 gigantic bombs and blowing up the nuclear facilities, creating the poison to create nuclear weapons by the Iranians, is something that has been... I am so glad he did that. How many times have we heard about people who are supposed to go in and inspect the facilities being kicked out? Now we don't have to worry about that shit anymore. Now, true, the Iranians got all the sensitive nuclear material out of there because I think they were well aware that this was coming. But the key pieces of equipment that allow them to enrich the uranium, they've been bombed back to the Stone Age, and it will take significant time for them to turn it around. And then just the other day, Iran responds, and I understand that this was symbolic only. What a waste of time, energy, money, and ammunition. The Iranians launched 14 cruise missiles at the U.S. base in Qatar. They did no damage. Most or all were intercepted in the sky and blown up. They warned the U.S. that they would be attempting to blow up the base. And we warned them about blowing up the facilities, too. The only thing that was a little bit off the beaten path was that Trump said, yeah, I'll decide in 2 weeks. And then 2 days later, the place is blown up. I mean, if you want to do some serious damage, that's how you do it. I would suggest lying. Like if I ran the United States and my mind was already made up that I was going to blow up Iraqi facilities with my gigantic bunker busting bombs, I would say we are not going to launch anything. No, we will not be doing that. We are not getting involved. And then immediately after, I would push the button. That's how you keep people honest. You don't want to be announcing that you might do it, and then you do it or you don't, or you put timelines. The Iranians, same damn thing. These morons announced to the U.S. that they're going to attempt to blow up our base. What? Why? What the fuck? Didn't any of you... What was that one movie? The Patriot with Mel Gibson? When he attacks the Redcoats, it's him and like his 3 10-year-old kids. They wipe out an entire regiment of the Redcoats because they're doing guerrilla warfare sneaky shit. Yeah, if you're going to try to fucking blow somebody up, break the fucking rules of engagement. Let them have it. Don't announce it, you idiot. I don't understand that one at all. This is the dumbest thing ever. And then I like how Trump blows up the Iranian facilities, and then he says, it is a time for peace. While the shit is smoldering up in flames. All right. It is time to heal. And it is time for peace. By the way, I have not heard how many Iranians were killed. I don't know if any were killed because, again, we announced that, you know, there's potential that we would blow that shit up. Bob says, I'm just sitting here waiting for someone to be stupid enough to touch a boat to see our proportional response. Exactly. I give Trump this. You don't know what the hell he's going to do. You know, I mean, he comes off like a madman. And if you want nations to respect you, you got to do madman shit. So, you know, if it comes down to it, he might, like, drop one of those bunker busters on a housing community or perhaps an orphanage. That's the next step. If you really want to keep them, I mean, you blow up the tactical place first and then maybe, like, a water facility or... a grade school. These are all targets that may be in play. David echoes that. He says he goes over the top, which is the way to go. Keep them guessing. I think perhaps a low-grade nuclear strike on a retirement community is on the table. Now, I'm not saying I want this to happen. I mean, I wouldn't be crazy enough to suggest quite a thing, but... if they don't know what to expect with this guy. First, he says 2 weeks, 2 days. Next, he says it is time for peace. Orphanage, decimated. Children's hospital. And then he says it's time for peace. So as I understand this, Iran's response was largely symbolic. And I see this because I heard this news too. Theron says supposed to be a ceasefire agreed by both sides. And then they both fired missiles at each other last night. And Trump is not happy about that. In fact, he weighs in that he is more upset with Israel than he is Iran. And I think that the next move is bomb Israel. The United States, if you want to keep it real and keep everybody second-guessing you, and you want to come off as, it's kind of like speak softly and carry a big stick. Some guy said that. Some president said that. Now, Trump does not speak softly. So you have to modify that and make it be lie and carry the biggest stick ever. So I think maybe a Hiroshima-sized nuclear warhead right in the middle of Israel will probably get them to fall in line. He expressed deep frustration with the most recent turn of events. Israel had earlier accused Iran of launching missiles after the truce was supposed to take effect. God damn it. Iran said it was an accident. Like Habib in the missile firing control room accidentally hit the button. The Iranian missiles were intercepted. Trump told reporters at the White House before departing for a NATO summit that, in his view, both sides had violated the agreement. He had particularly strong words for Israel, a close ally, while suggesting Iran may have fired on the country by mistake. So Trump is like, hey, Israel, goddammit, this was clearly an accident. He is Team Iran right now. This is brilliant. He posted, Israel is not going to attack Iran. All planes will turn around and head home while doing a friendly plane wave to Iran. Nobody will be hurt. The ceasefire is in effect. So Netanyahu, he's not even allowed to speak in this. Trump actually is in the earpiece of the guys that are flying over getting ready to blow up Iran. He said, fuck you, you stupid Israelis. Turn around and go home. Netanyahu's office said he held off on tougher strikes against Iran after speaking to Trump. Holy shit. Iran has long maintained that their nuclear program is peaceful. We know it's not. Trump might be able to broker this despite leading that unbelievable attack of 14 30,000-pound bombs and destroying the nuclear uranium enrichment programs for the country of Iran. I think it's fantastic that he can do that and then say, there you go. It is time for peace. He even talked about how now that Iran has kicked up its heels and launched their 14 missiles symbolically, he even suggested that it's okay for them to get that out of their system. I don't know if in your household you ever had that happen, where like, there's like a boiling over point, and then afterwards people like start to come together. Like we used to get that in the house here, you know, if there was a fight between family members, you know, they're going to meet like a couple of rams right in the kitchen, bang heads, and then go to their respective corners. I think that is the logic that Trump might be suggesting about the retaliatory strikes. Like, let them have it. Let them launch them. They're not going to do anything. Their equipment is shit. Fuck those guys. Iranian state TV reported that the military denied firing the missiles after the start of the ceasefire while accusing Israel of conducting strikes. Again, Trump expressed his disappointment. He said, Iran violated it, but Israel violated it too. I'm not happy with Israel. So what he's saying there is he is happy with Iran, that if they launch two missiles, they should. Trump's frustration was palpable, using an expletive to hammer home his point. Quote, we basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the fuck they're doing, he said. I think Trump would win favor if he bombed Israel. And if there's any way, by some off chance, that someone affiliated with the Trump administration is enjoying this podcast right now, I think that idea needs to be floated. If you want to win favor with the Arab world and you don't seem like in bed with the Israelis and you want to ensure stability, you need to act fast. a nuclear strike on Iran, on Israel, is the only answer to make this happen. Later, he announced that Israel had backed off its threat to attack Tehran and would turn its jets around. Netanyahu's office said, following President Trump's conversation with Prime Minister Netanyahu, Israel refrained from additional attacks. That was a fucking bloodletting. Trump was fucking all red ass, screaming at Netanyahu, calling him all sorts of ethnic slurs, reports say. One insider is quoted as saying, Trump announced that he was sympathetic to the Nazis after this horrible situation. Now, that cannot be confirmed. I personally don't believe that, but who knows? A person who spoke on the condition of anonymity said Trump was screaming at Netanyahu and said, this is why the Nazis tried to take you out, asshole, and hung up. Now, I hope that that didn't happen. Holy shit. What a day. Man Bun Chris says the president listens to the show easy. There's a good chance he is listening live even. Well, I hope so. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said his country would not fire at Israel if it was not fired upon, but that a final decision on the cessation of our military operations will be made later. It's unclear what role the Ayatollah played in the talks. He said earlier on social media that he would not surrender. God damn. Hostilities high. The conflict has killed hundreds. In Israel, at least 28 people have been killed, more than 1,000 wounded. Israeli strikes on Iran have killed at least 974 and wounded 33,458. The U.S. has evacuated some 250 American citizens and their immediate family members from Israel by government. Military and charter flights that began over the weekend. I want to know how many people died because of the U.S. strikes. You notice that they don't talk about that. A lot of people are walking around. I had to have this conversation with Madison because, you know, a young person and hates Trump, hates everything that Trump does, even if it's outstanding, which this is. And says, we are at war. I go, we're not. What do you mean? They bombed Iran. I go, yeah, military actions, almost like corrections happen regularly within every presidency. It's happened many times. This is no different than when we went into a sovereign nation, Pakistan, and took out bin Laden. And she goes, well, what about all the children that were killed in the children's hospital? I said, that did not happen. We did not blow up a children's hospital. We blew up nuclear facilities that had been evacuated. Uranium enrichment facilities that had no one in there. At least there better not had been. They were warned. She goes, oh. I go, yeah, you don't want nations like this having nuclear weapons because they will use them. They're psychopaths motivated by religious ideology and would love nothing more than to die as martyrs. These are the same people who wear vests with explosives that show up at daycares. You don't need to worry about it. We're not at war. And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, no more war, no more war. It's like, it's not. It is not a war. Iran's been asking for it forever. Man Bun Chris says everything is cool, just don't touch the DS case. This is true. Megan says, your youngest and my youngest should never be in the same room when conditions are not absolutely ideal. This is true. Big Buddha says the entire thing is playing out like a bad Netflix movie, Iron Eagle 16. The crazy and sad part is this is real life. Yeah, I don't know about this. I think you're being a little bit dramatic about it. I mean, come on now. You sound like my kid. You go in there, you fuck shit up with these big ass bombs, and nobody fucks with you. This is the equivalent, ding dong, of walking into the prison yard and taking out the biggest, baddest motherfucker who thinks he is in the yard. And then you're the big dick. Now, everybody thought we were the big dick before, but it's been a little bit too long until we really annihilated something. Since we really annihilated something, so here we go. We need to embrace the amazing thing that happened. And I can't stand Trump. He's horrible. But this had to happen. David says, this is why young people should never vote. Do your homework. Yeah, she had no idea. She thought that, like, we were strafing a school with bombs. That she had no idea. She goes, well, no civilians were hurt. I go, no. That was a tactical strike and a perfect one at that. Shit's buried 200 feet below a mountain. So no, we are not at war. You know who might be at war, though? Rainbow Flag Jeremy. One of our beloved audience members, as you all are, who is married to Rico. Now, Pooh Bear and I have known this power couple for a long, long time. Very, very sweet. That's who we saw at the Pride festivities downtown, these two. And so Jeremy, like I said, is married to Rico, and they are supposed to go to a wedding, these two. And I'm going to read to you what Jeremy wrote to me. He writes, and he wants me to share it with you. So here we go. Good morning, EZ. I have an invite to a wedding, and I am conflicted if Rico and I should attend. My 30-year-old cousin, Derek, is getting married. And although I have always gotten along very well with him and enjoyed our conversations, his mother and stepfather, my uncle, my mom's younger brother, are religious fanatic, homophobic assholes. Years ago, this bitch told me God didn't make me gay. The devil did. And she wasn't comfortable with her younger children being around me. I have not spoken to her since. I asked my mom about this, and she said if I was invited, it is because Derek wants me to attend, despite what his parents think. So my dilemma is, should I attend? Since I do like Derek, despite the fact I will have to be around his homophobic parents, or should I stay away to avoid an uncomfortable situation? If you want to use this as a topic on the podcast, give your opinion and share the opinions of others. I would appreciate it. I am truly conflicted. Okay, well, I'm going to clarify this for you and make it crystal clear. You are going, and there's many reasons why. On its surface, the simple fact that Derek invited you is a big fuck you to those two. and it would make him happy. You were invited to the wedding, despite, and he did that knowing that there is an issue. I'm assuming he is aware that there is a little bit of a disturbance in the force there, but he still invited you. That's wonderful. So now the Eric Zaytunian version of this response is, yeah, just filter out the noise and turn the other cheek and keep a smile on your face and mind your P's and Q's, but just go there and love, love, love. Love wins, Jeremy. Love wins. But the medieval fucking step on your throat, Eric Zane version of this goes, no, you are going to go. And I suggest you suck Rico's dick on the dance floor in order to really, really fuck shit up. Like, I want to see jizz puddles on the floor. That's what you should do. Okay? And pick your spot. Wait until, like, it's way into the event when everybody thinks, ah, well, it's over and done with now. You know, they're doing the fucking hokey pokey on the dance floor. And they turn around and you you're doing one of these. Or maybe even ass to mouth. Holy shit. You have got to make these people uncomfortable. Oh my God, that goes without saying. You might even start a fight. Oh, I love this opportunity. Okay, it's that same thing. Now, had they just bit their tongue and smiled and didn't say anything years ago, this would not be an issue. But now, I mean, from my standpoint, because whenever I know something pisses someone off, that means I do it more. But I'm kind of fucked up like that. You're probably not that fucked up. But I mean, my God, this is a great opportunity. Audience members are way into the idea of you making it awkward. Let's go over some of the comments. Megan says, yes, Jeremy, go. We will come protest your aunt and uncle. Rebecca says, you can also make a donation to the GR Pride Center or another nonprofit that supports LGBTQ plus in their name. That's fun. Jeremy shouldn't be uncomfortable, Amy says. Go to the wedding and they can fuck off. Rebecca says, I'm invited to a wedding next year at that venue in GR that won't work with gay couples. I'm making a donation to the Grand Rapids Pride Center in their name. Megan says, fuck Eric Zaytunian. I agree. And go in there all easy and shit. Rich says, go there and make out with Rico the entire time. Right. And you got to get that video. So if you're seated next to them or somehow just start mashing, right, and then get video of that and then get it to me so that we can revel in this. Man Bun Chris says, we all got your back. Make sure you wear your most flamboyant wedding wear. Great call. Amy wants to go to the wedding, too. Yeah, you have a great opportunity here. And I think that just mentioning it the way... I hope that talking about it the way we're talking about it cuts through the clutter in your brain. I mean, all kidding aside and all the tough talking aside, even if you just went and just were nice, oh, that probably would piss them off even more. And I suggest even killing them with kindness. That would piss them off. Oh, you have one of many directions you can take this in. You can go ghetto. You can go more passive aggressive. Megan says ask for photos with them. And then you can also, like, play dumb, you know? Like, if you ask for, hey, come on in, let's bring it in, and start doing the photo. And when they start to, like, you know, oh, this is icky gay people, oh, my God. You just ignore that. Just act like, oh, come on, let's bring it in here. You know? or you can play it completely above board. And they might surprise you even. These people, probably not. But they might surprise you. Maybe they've softened in the years, you know? But so, again, you've got time here to figure out your approach. Now, I'm a big talker. If I were you, I would probably wall myself off to the prospect of actually being a fucking moron. It's fun to joke about you actually slurping cock on the dance floor in front of those people. But you got to think about Derek there. It wrecked the wedding. It was fuck up all sorts of shit. So I think you guys just hold yourself in the classy way that you are. And, you know, the fabulous attire that you might wear would be outstanding. And when you get the looks and the shitty attitudes, just smile. Hey, how are you? Just keep it above board. And you will make Derek happy. Because, again, I really think that Derek wants to tell his folks to fuck off. And this is the way he's doing it, by having you there. So don't let him down. Bob says, throw the DJ a Benjamin and request the gayest songs randomly all night. Yeah, you don't want to, if you do something that you regret and upset Derek, then you got to deal with that. And you'll feel guilty. All right, there you go. As always, you can join me. Send me an email if you have a comment, question, or whatever the heck. That was a great email, Jeremy. Well done. Eric at ericzaneshow.com on the Shoreliners Striping inbox. For those of you that are getting the show on YouTube and Facebook, I'm about to kick you out. The rest of it is available on Twitch, twitch.tv/ericzanelive. That's twitch.tv/ericzanelive. Or download the Twitch app and search Eric Zane Live, and off you go. Patreon is for extra content. It's an entirely different platform with so many amazing shows, including a Big Fraud Wednesday featuring Who Are These Free Beers and the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. We are going to do that tomorrow. So there you go. patreon.com/Eric Zane for all of that. And you can get it for free. Free, I tell you. If you go there and sign up for the 7 days free. You do have to put in a payment form, but you can always cancel it right after, and you still get the 7 days. And if you're like, hey, I still like this CZ, I want to keep it going, just go in and re-enable your card, and I'll charge you $5 a month for audio, $10 a month for audio, video, live streams, first crack at new material, all there for you. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Thank you for checking out the show on Facebook and YouTube, but goodbye. I was out on the road yesterday. I had talked about, you know what? I'm going running. And I have, I got another workout under my belt. No issues whatsoever. No chronic pain. Now, this is, I am taking it easy here. 1 minute running, 1 minute walking. 2 miles. I'm still at that point. I'm not jumping ahead or anything like that, which could cause arthritic pain, which we don't want. But I'm going to take it as it comes. And I have experienced no side effects whatsoever. No pain in my knees at all. In the past when I was running, I don't know, maybe I was running too much, but I feel good now. And so there we go. Amy suggests I get on Strava. I think that monitors my runs so that, you know, you can like communicate with your friends. It's basically running social media. Rebecca says, there you go. Slow and steady. Listen to your body. Well, the interesting thing is it was like the 1 minute that I run. I actually go pretty quick and I'm pretty tired at the end of the 1 minute. And it's cool because I then have 1 minute to walk. But the key is I don't feel any stress in my knees. which are arthritic right now. And the hip issue is all but gone since I started this 1 week ago yesterday. So I feel good. Donut Dan is here. Now, he wasn't here with us yesterday. Donut Dan from the Dirty Donut Race. He writes, thanks for the great work this weekend, EZ. We have gotten a bunch of positive feedback about the awards announcer. Well, I appreciate that, Dan. Thank you for telling me. Sometimes awards, since there are so many, can become a drag. So you gotta keep it fresh. I would have to say I was 40% Zaytunian, 60% Zane, or maybe vice versa. But Dan, you weren't here yesterday, and I don't know if you caught the replay of the podcast or listened to the audio or what, but I did break down in detail the Code Brown incident in the hallway. And I'd like to pick your brain while we have you in the chat. Can you maybe, in a few words, write down what was going through your mind when I gave you the breaking news that some disgusting animal took a shit in the hallway of the high school? Like three or four plops over like a 3 or 4 meter area, which were then stepped in by numerous people. And that those were dragged through the hallway. The whole hallway was covered with shit, Dan. And who, you immediately got on the phone. And while everybody was laughing in your face, Casey's cousin in particular was losing his mind at your misfortune. Because you're on the hook for that. You know, you're the race director. You've got the approval of the school to be there. And here you've got one of your guests who are participating in the race taking a shit on the floor of this very nice high school in beautiful Martin, Michigan. Holy fuck. So I rush over, tell you some animal just shit on the floor. You got on the phone while Casey's cousin is laughing in your fucking face. Tell me what you did, because some poor soul was on the other end of your phone call with you saying, hey, man, someone's got to go clean up the shit in the hallway. And it got done. Donut Dan says, I could not freaking believe it. I thought you were joking. He had the look on his face because he was very, very straight with me. And I'm telling him straight up, but I was telling the story in a way that I guess was funny because, like I said, Casey's cousin, he couldn't believe it. He was beside himself with laughter. Donut Dan says, we got it cleaned up. My middle son found a mop bucket and took care of it. He was amazing and a great son. Oh, my God. He needed more than a mop bucket. He needed a hazmat suit. Oh. My God. I mean, I've picked up my share of shit. Did we ever determine, Dan, if it came from someone's, like, a human butthole, or was it a dog's? There were a few pooches, but I think that would be weird if someone was walking through with their dog and then shit and then didn't clean it up. Hell, if it's a person who shit and didn't clean it up. And I think that is probably one of the biggest things. Some sick fuck. It had to have been a person. Because only a person would shit on the floor and then be so embarrassed to not clean it up. My God. So then I referenced it in a roundabout way during the award ceremony. And my hope is that the animal who did it actually was in earshot of my comments about that horrible, horrible, awful moment. And then there's the dynamic of 95% of the people that are there are wearing those tight bike shorts. How did it get out of their pants? They would have had to have pulled their pants down, squat, and take a shit on the floor. Dan is convinced that that was human feces. This will go down in the lore of the Dirty Donut Race. Not lost on me is the fact that the race is called Dirty Donut. My God. Man Bun Chris says, I'm waiting for the plot twist and Eric saying it was him. Alan says, yeah, he slips up and accidentally admits to it. I mean, I have shit in weird spots to be sure, but I'm always like undercover. Donut Dan weighs in. He says, the worst thing we have ever had happen by far. Then to say not anything, then to not say anything even worse, I notified the school to hazmat the mop and the bucket and I would pay for it. Oh, yeah. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.